After the morning service, the first service this morning, I had a man come up to me and says, "I don't know what to do." He was undone. Lived a life of drug abuse, alcohol abuse. And he said, "I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do." God had been working in his life over the last couple of weeks, and I'd confirmed some of that with some of the people I'd visited with after that. I'd called and told this man to come to salvation, and one of the stories was that he was driving down the road, and he's lost his license. He hadn't had a driver's license in 8 years. Driving down the road and headed to work, and he gets pulled over by a police officer. And for those of you who drive on a suspended license, you'll know that you go directly to jail for driving under suspension. He knew he was getting ready to go to jail. The lady asked him, it was a lady cop, the lady asked him, "Where are you going in such a hurry?" And he said that "I'm headed to work and I'm running a little bit late." Just knowing that he's getting ready to be asked that question, "Where's your driver's license and registration?" She asked, and they get to talking. She said, "Well, I might know your boss." And he started visiting with her a little bit, and sure enough, she knew who his boss was, and they got to talking back and forth. And come to find out, she goes, "Well, what time you got to be at work?" And he said, "I got to be there in 5 minutes." She said, "Well, you better go ahead and hurry on and get up there." He didn't go to jail the other day because God intervened in his life right there, I believe. Because today he came to salvation. Jesus entered his heart this afternoon. And I tell you, or this morning, I tell you, we went back there. I went back to shake hands as people were leaving, and he grabbed a hold of me. And this old boy's a big old boy. He's about 6'7", 6'8". I thought I was going to have to stand on a chair to give this old boy a hug after we visited. But I tell you, he stepped out of the darkness and he stepped into the light. And he prayed. I had him pray that prayer. And I just prayed for him before we started. I said, "I'm going to let you pray the prayer." And he said, "I don't even know what to pray." And I said, "That's all right. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to give you the words that you need to be praying right now." And in his prayer, he said, "I'm broken. I'm undone. I don't know what to do. All I know is I need to give my life to you." Amazing story this morning. So, and I got to visit with some people that knew him this afternoon and confirm some things. So hopefully he'll be baptized. I have no idea how in the world we're going to pick this old boy up once we... I'm not for sure that he'll fit in our tank. He's big. Big guy. He's not overweight. He's just big. So, and he's got tattoos all over him. Big old beard, burly, looks like a biker. Got tattoos all over his fingers, but that's... and all over his neck. But it's those kind of people that are broke and hurting in this lost world that we live in that are coming to Jesus right now. So it was a great morning that we had down there, and I heard there was another salvation here. So the Lord's moving in our churches through the Word of God. Like I said this morning, this place is sometimes a scary place to stand. But I know one thing, that if I always share the Word of God, that it's going to work out. I do know that. So tonight, and I told you Wednesday night that we're going to do something a little bit different, and I hope that you've got your Bibles with you. And I don't know if you've got your prayer marching papers with you or not, but if you've got those prayer marching papers with you, we're going to start with our Washington side of the prayer march, and we're going to go through these scriptures tonight. And I'm going to give you five pointers here that will help you pray through the scriptures. So if you've got a pen ready, and I'll try to... if you need a copy of this after the service, I will be sure to print you off a copy of it. We'll help you. Tips on how you can get started praying the scriptures. And we're going to do some of these tonight. I don't know if we'll get through all these, but I'm in hopes that you have your Bibles with you tonight. We're going to open up to some of these scriptures that are on that prayer march page. And I'm going to actually have you guys read them. And then we'll discuss them just momentarily. And discuss how to pray for those things. And since we've got 7 points, we're going to offer up 7 prayers tonight for the Washington trip. And just so get ready. So the first thing here, Pigeon told me to take a breath between scripture sayings and stuff. And so I'm going to select a passage that is meaningful to you that you feel that speaks the truth in your present life. And Psalms is are always the Psalms is always a great place to start. Psalms 100, I remember, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. That was one of the verses that we always learned when I was in the first grade under Frosty Jackson's wife, Miss Barbara Jackson. She was my music teacher too, so she turned out one good product, I hope. But Psalms 100 is always a good place to start. That's the first point. The second point is this: take a moment to ask God to bless your time in the Scriptures, to keep focused on what will help you pray His Word. So take a moment to ask God to bless your time in Scripture, to keep you focused, and to help you pray His Word. So that's the second point. The third point is this right here: start reading through your passage slowly, methodically, and concentrate on each word in the verse. So concentrate on the word and each verse. So start reading through your passage slowly, and then meditate and do it methodically. So concentrating on each word and the verse. The fourth point is this here: as you finish a sentence or a verse, stop and turn your thoughts to prayer. So when you finish a verse, we get ready to read through these here in just a minute, we want to stop and kind of meditate a little bit on it, and then turn our thoughts towards praying to God on those scriptures. Bring your ideas or truth to the passage into the conversation with God. Bring the truths that you see in the passage and bring those into your conversation with God. And the last thing is to use the words of the Bible to guide your prayers of your worship, your confession, your thanksgiving, and petitions for yourself and others. So use the words of the Bible to guide your prayers. These words are perfectly placed in a perfectly given book. We need to realize that. When we pray these through these scriptures, you'll kind of get an understanding of that just a little bit. Guide your prayers for your confessions, your thanksgivings, your petitions for yourself and others. That's that last point. And if, like I said, if you want, we will discuss, or I will print that off for you, and we can give you that later after the service. So let's start with that first point. Humble yourselves in repentance, asking God to forgive you of your sins and heal our great lands. That's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Does anybody have that scripture? Anyone got it pulled up yet? Bob, would you read that for us? Isaiah 43 says that God formed us and He knows us by name. We are called by God. We are called by Him by name. That would be your first prayer point. If my people who are called by my name, the realization that you are one of God's children and you need to be giving thanksgiving to Him in your prayers when you pray through this verse for being His child. Then humble yourselves. Remember, we serve a holy God. He's a powerful God. He's a mighty God. We see things that just don't happen in this world without somebody being in control, somebody that has an awesome and mighty power. And I was sitting back here talking to the ladies before service, and I mentioned this in my sermon this morning, but just the realization of what God's light is. If you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast into that fiery furnace, you think about that furnace was used for probably melting gold, which Nebuchadnezzar used to make idols unto himself. Now, he made that furnace somehow 7 times hotter. And if you ask Doris, she'll tell you that you can't even look into the furnaces out here that melt the iron out here at American Castings. Can't even look inside them without using a protective lens of some kind. But here's the thing. Those 3 men were cast into that furnace, but Nebuchadnezzar seen how many men? He's seen 4 men. You think about this. Jesus admits so much light that's all he seen was those four men inside of that furnace. Scripture tells us that. Our God does mighty things. So we need to humble ourselves in front of a great and a mighty God. And then pray and seek his face. We need to be seeking God's face. We need to be seeking him. And the only way to do that is through your prayer time and your relationship with him and through the word of God. Of course, the tough one there is turn from the things that hold us back, the things that are in this world. Ask forgiveness for your sins, and then he will hear you from heaven, and he will forgive you of your sins, and he will heal our land. God will not be angry with his people, but instead he will listen to their desperate prayers. God will forgive his people and cleanse them spiritually. And he will restore his favor, presence, peace, his truth, and his power among them. Wouldn't that be great to see God's miracles again? Wouldn't it be great to see that Red Sea parted? Wouldn't it be great to see a pillar of fire guide you on your daily path? A pillar of smoke at night? Wouldn't that be awesome to see those kind of things again? The Israelite people got to see those all the time. They got to see those miracles, and they took them for granted. I wonder if we get to see a miracle through this prayer march, are we going to take it for granted? Are we going to take what God does with this prayer march for granted if we see something miraculous happen? God will heal and refresh his people spiritually. He will pour out the Holy Spirit in order to bring a spiritual awakening among his people and a spiritual salvation among those who do not yet know him. We pray these kind of prayers to heal our land. That means that we got to expect a revival. We need to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through these times of prayer that we're getting ready to have. That's what's going to happen. It's either going to be revival or rapture. I've been saying it for 2 months now. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be revival. We're going to either pray for our land to be healed. In one way, it's going to be revival. We're going to pray for our land to be healed. The other way is rapture. That's how God heals us. We either healed on this earth through our sicknesses, either by miracle and we're cured of our sickness, or God calls us home. So we're healed in one of two ways. He will refresh the land again, pouring out rain. And that's physical blessings. And I wrote down there at the bottom of my Bible, showers of blessings. Do you remember that song? There should be showers of blessings. This is the promise from above. So let's... Bob, I'm going to ask you, since you read that verse, if you would like to pray for our humbling ourselves and repentance and asking God to forgive our sins and heal our land. Amen. That second point on your prayer march page is our military, police, and other law enforcement, their families, and the security and peace of their nation. So if you would, turn over to Deuteronomy. And I've got these marked. I told you the other day, my Bible's starting to look like a porcupine, and that's That's all. I've got all the scripture references that me and Robin went through. And we went through these the other day, and I've marked all of them. I've highlighted all of them. And I try to pray over each and every one of those scriptures every day. And I'll tell you, there's a good awakening going on within me through these scriptures. So it's an exciting thing to do. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Does anybody have that? Would like to read that for us? Mark? There's a good verse right there, and if you read all through Deuteronomy 31 there, you'll find out that it says that several times, that he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And as far as our law enforcement goes, I was a law enforcement officer, Jacob was a law enforcement officer, Denny was a law enforcement officer, and we know that the struggle is real out there in the world, and you face situations. There's always a gun every time you go and make a stop. There was always at least one gun there. Might have been the one you were wearing, but there was at least one. You never knew when a struggle might break out. And just think about what our police officers are going through today. I'm so thankful to God that I'm not involved in law enforcement anymore at the current time. It is a scary, dangerous world. I've got a brother-in-law that's a state trooper. I've got a nephew I got two nephews, one that's a deputy sheriff of Delaware County. I've got another one police officer over in Broken Arrow. So I've still got a family full of law enforcement officers. So it's a daily concern of mine that we need to be praying for the safety of our law enforcement officers. It says, be strong and courageous. And this is speaking to those guys. You need to be praying for our police officers to be strong and courageous in their jobs that they're doing. And do not fear. Do not dread of them, for it is the Lord, your God, who goes with you. It's always something to keep in mind that God is always going to be with these guys in their fights and in their situations out there. And hopefully most of them know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's look over at Proverbs 21:15. Would you go ahead and read that for us? When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. That's how the ESV version puts it. These guys are out there doing a job of justice, and we need to remember that. We need to pray for their safety and that they're out there doing the right thing. We go back and we look through the scriptures, and we will see some of that in 1 Timothy, where it'll start talking about those who are in offices, higher offices, those kings, those leaders, those rulers, and as they perform their duties, as long as they're doing it with justice in mind, doing it for the right reasons, and God's involved in it, then it's right. So let's look over at Romans 13, verse 4. Anybody? Jacob? I just think that this verse really fits into the line of duty for police officers. They are there. They're God's servants. They're there to keep the peace. And if justice is needed, they're also there to perform justice as well. This is one verse that I really like to pray over, and when I'm thinking about my brother-in-law, my nephew, God's there. He's God's servant, and he's there for your good. They're there to protect us. And we need to keep that in mind as we see and we pray these verses for our law enforcement officers. Let's move on to that point. Let's Is there anybody who'd like to pray for our military, for our police officers, for our law enforcement, families? Anyone? Jacob, would you go ahead? Amen. Point number three there. Salvation of the lost, renewed strength in our families, solutions for the coronavirus pandemic, and the end of abortion. If you would, flip over to Acts 26, verse 18. Does anybody have that? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Right there. Yeah. I'm looking right at you. Jesus is praying this prayer right here. The words in my Bible are red, so I know it's him that's speaking. And he's prayed to open the eyes of the lost, to open their eyes so that they may turn from the darkness and turn to the light. That's what that young man done this afternoon or this morning, was he turned, he stepped out of the darkness and stepped into the light. Let's look over at 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. Go ahead, Pigeon.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Probably the reason we haven't seen rapture yet is because God's waiting for those lost souls to still be saved. He's still giving people the opportunity, and better yet, he's still giving you the opportunity to share with those who are lost the great hope and the message of Jesus Christ in his gospel. Isaiah 41:10. Susie, go ahead. When we talk about strengthening and renewed strength in our families, this is a good verse to go to. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Always continually pray for that strength in your families. It's oftentimes we don't get a lot of families coming to church. We get single individuals sometimes, or their kids come, or mom brings kids, and sometimes dads don't come. And we need to pray for strength in our families, that they will be renewed in their vows toward God and become to church. And it also says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jesus is there always holding and strengthening your family. So let's move on to Joshua 24:15. Can anybody recite this by memory? Anybody know this one? You'll know it when we read it. Who's got it? Who's got it and wants to read it? Don't be shy. There's plenty of verses out here. Nettie's going to read it.
Thank you.
everybody recognize that verse now? For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's right. Pray for your family. Pray that they are strengthened and pray that they are each and individually serving the Lord. My parents were at the service this morning, and they're always telling how proud they are of me, but I'm going to say they have to be more proud of what God's done in me than what I am today. Because of their prayers, I know because of their prayers, I'm at where I'm at today. I'm very aware and very sure of those things. John 16:33. Okay. That's right. Jesus says, overcome the world. The situation of the coronavirus pandemic is for us not to worry about because he has already overcome the world. We don't need to worry about the tribulations and the trials that we're going through. In this world, and I've got it underlined and circled, I've got the words, in this world, I've got them underlined, and I've got circled, you will have, and then underlined again, tribulations. You're going to go through these things. We're all going to go through battles. We're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through tests. But we don't have to worry because God sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus has overcome the world. What a great prayer to pray. Great verse of scripture to pray over. Deuteronomy 30:19. I like this verse for abortion. When I was reading different scriptures about abortion, this one really stuck out. I call heaven and I call earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that your offspring may live. Choose life. We need to be choosing life. We've got people out there that thinks it's okay to kill unborn babies. It's not okay. God is so against that. And I can't, and I'm going to get political for just one second here. Because if Joe Biden says he's a man of faith and he stands up there and is for abortion, God clearly says in the scriptures, you're either for me or you're against me. We cannot be against God if we accept abortion. It doesn't matter. I've heard story after story from people. Ronnie Hill's a perfect example. He is an evangelist that stood right up here on this stage not too long ago, and we'll be back here again in November preaching to us. His mom was raped, and he is a product of an almost abortion, didn't have abortion, but he was a product of rape. And he's an evangelist today. In his ministry, I don't know how many people have come to know Jesus Christ because of what he's done. So you cannot tell me that it's okay to kill an unborn baby because that baby was a product of rape. You can't tell it to me. I won't believe it because I've seen the opposite. Boy, that's a hot topic, isn't it? Proverbs 24:11. Let's keep moving. I'll get myself in trouble, get political here. Who's got it? Come on, don't be afraid. Come on, Brock, let's read it. There's some powerful weight in that scripture right there. When we start talking about abortion, that's a powerful scripture to pray about right there. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. We need to be praying for these moms to be, that they will still be moms to be, that they will not take those little young lives. Who wants to pray over this point here? on, there's got to be somebody who wants to. I'm not going to do it. Somebody out there is going to have to do it. This is our prayer time, not my prayer time, our prayer time. Curtis, would you like to? Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you, Curtis. The president and the vice president and their families. This is a hard one. We do need to pray for those guys. And if you would, turn to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Who has that? I'd like to read it. Go ahead, Bonnie. Right there pretty much says it all. This is actually another one of our prayer points that it's on the Oklahoma side, and it goes all the way through verse 6 there. I urge you that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all those in the high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I don't agree with everything our president says. I'll tell you that right now. I think sometimes he pops off and he shouldn't. And we need to be praying for everything that he says. We need to be praying for him. It doesn't matter who our president is. It doesn't matter if we like him or not. We still got to pray for our leaders. You may not like our governor. You may not like our president. You may not like your mayor. You may not like your county commissioner. But these guys will affect your life at some point, sometime. During it, they're going to affect your life in some way. So always continue to pray for them. And I'm going to skip on down to the next point, but first, does anybody want to pray for our president, our vice president, and their family? Debbie. That next point is a big issue right now. Compassion and kindness towards one another, respect and reconciliation between the races, and healing in our communities that are torn by violence and injustice. We've got a lot of issues going on there. And the best verse that I can point out in this group of verses, since we're getting kind of close on time, I want you to flip over to Malachi 2, verse 10. And if somebody has that, if they would read it. Well, Well, that's a powerful verse when you start talking about race, isn't it? When we have differences of opinions with people, when we have differences of the way we do things, have we not all one Father? We do. We all have but one Father, and that's God. Has not one God created us all? Yes, He has. Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our Father? You know, if you read these other verses, they're going to tell you those old love one another verses are in there that you need to be looking up for compassion and kindness towards one another. You know, our main purpose that God has spoke to us through His Son Jesus Christ is that we share Jesus' gospel, and His gospel is a gospel of love. There is no other thing that outweighs love. There's no more important thing than love. If you have love, what does the scripture say? It covers a what? It does. Love will cover not only your sins being covered with love, but sins that other people have towards you, things that they've done towards you. You look at this one another love, and you've got to kind of come to a realization that love is the key. If you want to handle a situation that you might be angry at somebody with, handle it with love. You do it with love first, and you're going to see a difference in how things come out in the end. So with that being said, who would like to pray for our compassion and kindness to one another, and then respect and reconciliation between the races, and healing for communities and torn violence and injustice? Yes, Dusty, go ahead. Amen. That next point is religious freedom in the churches and having a boldness to stand firm for the Word of God and to preach Jesus Christ in a troubled world. If you would, turn over to Galatians 5, and we'll do verse 1, and we'll do also verse 13 there, if somebody has it and would like to read it. Yes, go ahead. Would you read verse 13 as well? Amen. Serve one another. That's a good verse. It goes back up there above, but we are called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom for opportunities for the flesh, but to share love. That's to share what Jesus has given you. Let's look over there at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. It's a lot of reading. I'll read that for you guys. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength and might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness we are against, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, verse 14, stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and then take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying all the time. And I've got that underlined in my Bible. In the Spirit, with all the prayers and supplication to the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. That means pray for all those people that are out there. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I encourage you to pray that last part for me. When I'm up here behind this pulpit, like I said, sometimes this is a strange place to be. It's not an easy place to be. Curtis can tell you that. Anybody that stood up here and had to preach a sermon can tell you it's a strange and awkward place to be sometimes. But as long as we're proclaiming the gospel, as this verse right here says. So, religious freedom for our churches and having the boldness to stand firm on the Word of God. We need to get out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the Great Commission. And we're all disciples of Christ. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a disciple of Christ. You are commissioned, just like an army person is commissioned to go into battle. You are commissioned to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not doing that, you're failing at your first and most important task to be doing as a Christian. And I encourage you that if you're not, to find a way to share the gospel with somebody. It's an amazing thing that happens, and it's an amazing blessing to get to pray with somebody, just like I did that young man this morning. It's amazing to get to hear his words cry out to God, wanting and desiring Jesus to come into his heart, because he knew he couldn't do it by himself. It's a blessing to get to hear that, and I challenge you, if you've not done that, to do that. Would somebody like to pray for our religious freedoms and our boldness to go share the gospel and the Word of God and preach it in this troubled world? Would anybody like to pray for that? Harold? Amen. And that last point there, and we'll be done, is our Congress and our leaders at the national, the state, the local level. We need to be praying for all those, the Supreme Court and the judges across the nation. I know if y'all been watching the news, you know that we just had a Supreme Court justice that just died. And we're at a very important crossroads with our Constitution and those who determine what is constitutional and what is not constitutional. It's a big, big deal, guys. It's a huge deal. Because your religious freedoms, all your freedoms are written inside of that Constitution. And if we get people on there that don't have the same values and the same opinion as we do, then we are at risk of losing our religious freedom. So we need to be praying for our Supreme Court justice that they stick to what the Constitution already says. What it already says. Not be trying to change the wording of it. Because it was written, and I believe that the men that wrote it, when they wrote these things, they were inspired somewhat by God, I would have to believe. Or we would not have a nation that we have today. So, we need to be praying for those. And I know there's going to be all kinds of chaos that's going to come out of this. But still yet, we just need to pray for the persons that are going to be on that Supreme Court. However many they're going to be, it seems like. So, if you would, flip over to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Has anybody got it and want to read it? That last part of that right there is one of the things that you need to concentrate on. In verse 4 there, it says, there is one body, one spirit, and that we're called to one hope that belongs to you and to your calling. The Lord, there's one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is only one God, and there's only one Father of all. And He's over all. We need to be praying that God comes back and heals this country. We need to be praying that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the God of this country and that He heals our land. And as far as it talks about our congressional leaders and at all levels and the Supreme Court, and I've got it written down there in those red letters there, pray that they would, with their hearts, would walk worthy of their callings. If they've been called to these offices, we need to be praying that they walk worthy. And to be worthy of something, I just can only think there's one that's worthy, and that's Jesus Christ. And we all struggle to be anything similar to that man and what he done while he was here on earth. But I tell you, pray that they would walk worthy as well. We need worthy men and women leading our country. We've got to have that. If we don't, you will start seeing the chaos grow and grow and grow like it has in some of these cities. And there, like it says at the bottom, there's many other verses that I suggest that you explore and that you pray through. And if you want a copy of this tonight, we're just a little bit past time, but I want us to gather up one more time as a group and just offer up prayers to God for these prayer marches that will be happening this weekend. It's coming. It's coming this weekend. Seems like it's been a month since we started this, but it's come very quickly.